Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Happy Friday, 3:05. Stairway to Kevin.
Sure. What do you guys have? Any preferences? Fun? Not fun? I got a couple sports things we could do.
Oh, you know what? I have a question for you.
Sure.
Before you do Stairway, you're always talking about nerd stuff like OPS and whatnot.
Yeah.
I think you should do a little 3-minute primer. I don't know what those things are. And I see it all the time. And if I don't know what they are, other people who love the Cardinals might be interested to know what some of these things that people talk about, like when Chip and Brad talk about it on the broadcast, or you know, Ricky and John.
Yeah, you want to go through some of the main ones?
Yeah.
All right, so we'll do offense first, then we'll do pitching, and we can do it pretty fast without getting super nerdy. So the old standards, right, for judging a hitter were batting average, home runs, RBIs, runs, stolen bases, and they still matter. Like home runs still really matter. Stolen bases obviously still tell you that story. But most people in baseball don't look at batting average the same way. So instead of that, when we refer to OPS, all that really is on-base percentage plus your slugging percentage. So that's just adding up all your doubles, triples, home
runs.
And what's
slugging percentage?
That's just basically how many extra base hits you get. Do you hit for power or not? So it counts singles, right? So if you were going to do it like an equation, essentially, a single counts as one, a double counts as two, a triple counts as three, a home run counts as four. It's the number of bases.
So that's why the number's so high.
Right. So like the old school way to do it, that's not a percentage. You could just look at somebody's total bases. And if you look at a guy that has a ton of total bases for the year, it's like, you know, that's the best hitter. That's Mike Trout. That's Shohei Ohtani. That's what Hank Aaron used to be, right? That's what Stan Musial used to be. If you look at the top of total bases, but it's a harder thing to track total bases. Mm-hmm. So people like to break it down into a percentage. That's essentially what slugging percentage is how many bases do you add up per plate appearance, per at bat, essentially.
See, I've already learned something.
Yeah. So slug is just extra base hits, and it counts singles. If you look at batting average, it treats them all as if they're the same.
Yeah.
Right? It treats a home run and a single the same way. It's one. But in slugging, so people want to count that. And then on base is all of those hits, and then it counts your walks. So how many times you get on base. Mm-hmm. When you combine those two, that's OPS.
Mm-hmm. Do you think, parenthetically, that we don't value walks as much as we should?
No, in the game they do. I think we, as a general rule, like as a public, we don't.
It's kind of boring.
Because we get caught up in batting average. So like, he's only hitting .240. Well, if he walks a lot, and you add that, and that's why you look at on-base percentage. In baseball, the nerds say OBP is life. On-base percentage is life. The more you get on base, the more runs your team scores, period, the end. That's a mathematical fact. Mm-hmm. So when you're looking at what that means, you remember, I mean, think about it. I guarantee you, Dave, when you're playing Little League, and everyone who's been around Little League or played Little League has heard this. When a kid's at the plate, walks as good as a hit.
Yep.
You get to a 3-ball count. You don't have to swing. Walks as good as a hit. Yep. It is. It's like a single. It has the same value as a single. So when you count OPS, when you're looking at hitters, it's just adding all of that together into one number. And then 800 is kind of good. Little below 800, still okay. Above 800, 850, 900, you're amazing.
Okay.
You're amazing.
I haven't seen a lot of 500s.
Yeah, 500's not good. that's a good slugging percentage, but right, it's not good for the total when you're in the fives and sixes. You need to be 750 or above to be. I think average is around 740 or 750, like something like that. Mm-hmm. So that's what that is. And then if you're looking at offense for other things that matter, when people talk about like barrels and exit velocity, those things are just telling you how hard you're hitting the ball and whether you're hitting it on the ground, on the line, or in the air. Right, so. Everybody has known this forever. And it's funny, I just talked about this with Derek Gould today on the best podcast in baseball. When people say hit the ball in the air, they don't mean straight up into the air. They're not saying try to hit pop flies. They're not trying to say hit the ball into the stands. It's just saying not on the ground. A line drive is in the air, but on the ground, it's out. So think of it this way. Dave Duncan's one of the greatest pitching coaches of all time. We all watched that happen here, and he did that in Oakland with Tony La Russa before they came here. Their philosophy, and every coach's philosophy, is that pitchers want more ground balls. So if pitchers want ground balls, wouldn't you say that hitters want the opposite?
Yes.
Like if it's beneficial to pitchers and pitching coaches to have the ball on the ground, well, then it's better for hitters to not do that, because that's what they want you to do, because most ground balls are out.
It's interesting because my mom, who's a big fan, always says, if you hit it in the air, it's an out. Anywhere you hit it in the air, it's an out.
Straight up in the air is an out.
Exactly, right. Because and that's true that the outfielders are so good and so fast these days that it's really tough to see one drop.
Right.
We're talking line drives.
Right. There's no home runs on the ground.
Yep.
And there are very few doubles and triples on the ground. Mm-hmm. You'll get them, but they have to go right down the lines. Otherwise, you're not going to get that.
Have they found a way to fudge the no shifting thing for the infielders?
No, not really. It's pretty clear. Like, you have to be on each side of the base. You have to have feet on the dirt when the pitch is thrown. So, no, nobody's been gaming it. The one thing that's interesting, though, is that they don't limit how much the outfield can shift, which I think is weird because if you're trying to create action, that's where all the big action is. So if you had to limit the outfielders to how far they could shift, you might get more doubles and triples as opposed to, you know, encouraging more singles or getting more of them. And then real quick on the nerdy side for the pitchers, right? People are always hearing we know about velocity. We know what that is. But you're hearing a lot of new terms like high spin rate, things like that. What people don't seem to get is a lot of the terms you hear now are just different and more scientific terms for things we've always talked about, right?
Sure.
So when you say
Babe Ruth knew what a spin rate was in his own Babe
right.
Ruth
so
way.
What they called it was, they used to call it a rising fastball. So if the old-timers, they called it, hey, man, he's got a rising fastball. Well, on the laws of physics, a ball can't rise. A pitch cannot. It's impossible.
Those idiots.
Because it immediately decelerates, and you need acceleration to rise, right? So, but it looks like it is to the eye because it had a high spin rate. We just couldn't measure the spin rate. So the eyeball said, this thing looks like it's rising. Well, that's all that is. So when you hear somebody say, talk about spin rate, that's it. It's a rising fastball. When you hear someone talk about launch angle, what they used to say is, when they talk about a hitter, oh, he's got great loft to his swing. That's the old timey scouts term. It just means he has a swing that leads to hitting the ball in the air. And it's funny that a lot of times that translation doesn't get put across, where people get mad because you hear a term you're not familiar with.
Yeah.
You're like, you guys are too focused on them. No, like Ted Williams talked about loft and hitting the ball in the air. That was 80 years ago.
Yeah.
90 years ago he was doing that.
You know how I give Ricky and Dave questions?
Yeah.
I got one for you. So I love watching baseball, and there's something very satisfying. It's almost video game-ish when a pitcher throws a ball and it's a strike, it's 95 miles an hour, pop, it hits the catcher's mitt, and you see the 95 pop up.
Yeah.
And I was thinking the other day that mere mortals trying to hit a 95-mile-an-hour fastball right down the middle would be almost impossible. If you took a Nolan Arenado or a Goldschmidt or someone like that, a pro hitter, and not a pitching machine, a pitcher, but that pitcher was somehow, in my thought experiment, able to throw the same pitch over and over and over again. The catcher's going to catch it in the same place every time. It's going to be 95 miles an hour. Would they just rock that every single pitch?
Nonstop.
Hmm.
Nonstop at 95. And they would still hit it at 100, but it would be less, right? Like if you knew exactly where it was going, every couple of miles an hour you go up, that percentage of getting hits would go down. But yes, if you could say to any major league hitter, I'm even talking about the guys you don't think are that great. If you just said 95 belt high every pitch, they're going to crush the vast majority of them.
And they know, the good hitters know when it's a fastball, when it's thrown.
Well,
because that's why junk pitches work, because they think it's fastball and then the bottom drops out.
Right. It's the pattern of change is what gets people, right? When you're a hitter up there, it's the not knowing that really messes you up. So what they try to do in most cases is they try to figure out what they think is coming based on the pitcher's patterns, based on what he's good at, on, you know, what you're seeing that day or on the count, right? So if it's 3-1.
So there's a lot of guessing, right?
There is a lot of guessing, which is why hitting is hard, because if you're not guessing, you're probably not going to hit. I mean, if you're thinking, I'm just going to see the ball out of the hand. Well, when a guy's throwing 95 to 100, you don't have enough time. You don't have
Literally.
Enough time. Now, there are certain things you can see, right? So, but the problem is with the way pitchers are trained now, you hear all these things about pitching labs and all that. What they've worked on and perfected for a lot of guys is the pitches look exactly the same coming out of the hand, and they don't change until about a third. They're about 2/3 of the way there. So it used to be you could see a curveball out of the hand because it would have a little hump.
This is more of a Ricky Horton question, but you probably know this as well. The way that we threw curveballs in the 80s, is it the same way they throw curveballs now, essentially?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the grips are the same. They work more with...
We haven't discovered any wiffle tactics.
Not really, no. I mean, like, you play around more with grips depending on what you want it to do. Do you want it to be something that has more vertical break, the old 12-6? The big one now is the sweeper, the one that goes more side to side. But then there are all these angles in between that, too. I don't think there's a lot of technique difference, except in the sense that they're trying to get the arm action, so your arm speed and your release point to be the same on all of those pitches because you want a tunnel. You want it to look exactly the same coming out of the hand, so you're going to try to get to that same place.
But since we're doing this, let's take a couple minutes and talk about the Cardinals. So Diamondbacks, good team, into the playoffs last year.
Yeah, pretty World
deep.
Series last year, yeah.
But we're facing a couple of their average pitchers to start out, right?
I mean, so the guy that's going tonight, Brandon Pfaadt, is first full season in the majors, but he was really good in the playoffs last year. Like, he came up late last year, kind of up and down, but in the playoffs he was awesome. So he's very talented, but so far this year he's been a little bit of a mixed bag. Tomorrow you've got an opportunity, a guy named Ryan Nelson. You can hit him. He's their fifth starter. He's the last guy in the rotation. And then on Sunday you'll get Zach Gallen, who was a Cy Young contender last year and former Cardinals prospect.
How about our guys? Do you know who's going?
Yeah, so tonight is Miles. No, Steven Matz tonight. And he's the one that'll match up against Pfaadt. And I'm trying to make sure I don't mix up the order. I think it's Miles after that, followed by Kyle Gibson.
You know what's good is so far, and it's only a couple weeks.
No, it's the other way around, Gibson and then Miles.
So far, there's no pitchers I'm dreading.
No, they've done. Look, Miles has had a bumpy start, right? Lance Lynn had one. Kyle Gibson had one. But they've also had their really good ones. And they also have kind of stabilized after trouble, right? Like you mentioned the Gibson one. He had a bad first inning, but then he calmed down and he stayed in there for a little bit.
Which is hugely important.
Cardinals, the starting pitching has not been great. It's been fine. And then the bullpen's been really good, and it's getting better, and that's really interesting.
But you know what? Fine feels like great to us this
compared
year.
Compared to last year, it does. Yeah. Now if we can just, like, the story this weekend and the story right now is, how do you get Goldschmidt and Arenado hitting like Goldschmidt and Arenado?
Yeah.
Because the rest of the lineup is kind of what it is, right? Wynn and Scott are young. You can't rely on
them.
There's
no banking
on them. Jordan Walker's 21. You can't rely on him. You can, to a degree, rely on Brendan Donovan, Nolan Gorman, Wilson Contreras. Ivan Herrera has been awesome. He's been their best hitter by far.
Let's take a break, and I'm apologizing for talking about the Cardinals in the flagship station.
I think you're good.
I don't think people mind.
But I saw a couple of articles that were pretty spicy about the Cardinals that I want to ask you about on the other side of the break. Welcome back, guys. DGS 325. Okay, so the Cardinals stories that I saw.
Yes.
The first one was about how the shine is off the apple of Scott Boras after the Montgomery debacle, and it just made me think nothing stays gold forever.
No. And I think it's a bit early to decide on that with Boras, but yeah, normally his guys wait really late in the process and they get paid. And this time he had several that didn't, right? He had Snell and Montgomery, and they didn't. They got short-term deals.
You think this was a bit of a conspiracy among the MLB where they're like, you know what, screw this guy?
I don't think so, because there were like, I think there were 8 teams that had to cut payroll because of the TV thing that was going on with the Diamond Sports, which is the one that owns all the Bally's outlets.
Yeah.
The Cardinals have a stable deal. But that's not true in all these other places. In a lot of other places, they were losing pretty significant revenue from TV, which is why they backed off. So if it happens next year, then I think we have some evidence that Boras is maybe his tactics aren't working as well as they used to.
Two more stories I saw. One was, improvement change in Tyler O'Neill just highlights how bad the Cardinals are at developing talent.
No, I mean, the problem with Tyler O'Neill is he was never healthy. What are you supposed to do? How do you develop somebody that's never in the lineup? He just got hurt every year. He had one healthy season in St. Louis and he put up monster numbers. I mean, the problem with him has always been on and off the injured list all the time. So if he stays healthy this
year, my mom would say he's too muscular.
A lot of people say that. No, seriously, a lot of baseball people think that that's part of the problem is a lot of baseball players are big, but they're not all like him. He's bodybuilder big.
Yeah.
And there are people that will say that that puts too much stress on certain parts of the body, and that's part of the reason. I don't know how true that is, but there's certainly a large belief about that in baseball. People think that.
The last thing is, you know, I've been a Herrera fan for a long time now. And I'm a Contreras fan, but I didn't think we needed to spend $75 million on him. And this article was about how, you didn't have to spend $75 million. You had Herrera, and he's really good.
Well, the problem is Herrera was most likely, based on where he was in his development, not ready last year. Like, not going to be ready to take over. And you needed someone right away to take over. And by the way, what's the problem with having both of them? I mean, they're both in the lineup right now. One's DHing, one's catching. There's no problem with that. You can never have too many good players. And as with any young player, you just don't know until you know, right? So if you go back and look at 2022 for Herrera, he played at AAA. He missed half the season. So you didn't even, he had an injury. So you didn't even have him. He played 65 games. So you didn't have a lot to go on. And his offensive numbers that year were only so-so. They weren't great. They weren't terrible. They were just bleh. So it was, I mean, and his reputation has always been that he's a better hitter than he is a defensive catcher. Give him credit. He's gotten a lot better defensively. He's put in a lot of work. Fast forward to last year, he still only played half the season, but he crushed. And now you're seeing what he's capable of. But if he had been in 2022 what he was last year, they probably wouldn't have spent on Contreras.
Who's the most important Cardinal player this season to do well?
The single most?
Yep.
Probably Arenado. I mean, he's your best. So, I mean, he and Goldschmidt are both, but because Arenado is expected to do more defensively at third base, he the two of them are tied, but really, if I had to pick one, it's Nolan. Like, you need him to be your best player.
What's my best body part?
Your nose.
Thanks. 336 DGS. This is normally where we have Dave Murray do the weather, but I'm going to have Dave's phone do the weather. It is going to be very, very nice tonight. Gorgeous night. We're just talking about in our older age how much we love going out to dinner as opposed to going out and getting S-faced. Really nice night to go sit outside on a patio. Tomorrow, not too bad. You know, high of 81, and then Sunday is 84, 85 on Monday, and kind of gets normal back into next week. We don't need Dave Murray. I did that great.
Dave's phone is so much nicer than Dave Murray.
Dave's whole career is a lie.
Dave Murray, Dave's phone doesn't judge us like Dave Murray does when we don't know where the moon is.
No.
And there's no untoward comments.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I'm not being all dirty and talking about how moist everything's going to be. And Murray should be living in Pinckneyville, not Laguna Beach.
We love Dave Murray.
Yeah, I know we do. Headlines, Rach?
Brought to you by Schnucks. Get your groceries delivered or use curbside pickup with the Schnucks
Rewards
app. You
ever wake up in the middle of the night hearing me go, headlines, Rach?
Yeah, sometimes. And I'm like, save 2%.
Do you grab the phone when you're waking up? You're like, no!
Yeah, she has the nightmare where you're like in school, but you haven't studied for the test. But
for
it's
real,
like, headlines, Rach?
Do you guys have show dreams or nightmares like you can't get in the studio or anything like that?
Yeah. Very infrequently.
I have the dreams that think some like stuff's not working.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're on a remote and it's not working.
Why do you think your brain does that? Why wouldn't your brain go, let's have Kevin have a dream about radio and it's the best show he's ever done? Why do you think is it preparing you for things going wrong? And you're like, I've seen this scenario before.
I don't know. Is that your brain works out?
But it definitely feels like, it must be just like working out stress. Like your brain, the scenarios that it presents you aren't things you'll actually need to be prepared for. Like one of my like nightmares I had about the show once was that you guys were all like, we were going somewhere to do some sort of like an event or something. And then you guys were all pretending like you didn't know who I was.
We would never do that.
And you guys like waited until I went through a door and then you closed it and locked it real fast so I couldn't get back in.
Man, don't give us ideas.
Wow.
Somebody's got a complex.
Yeah, his subconscious doesn't like us.
And so I was like, fine, I'm just going to go to this hot chicken and burger place that's down the street. Because I was really excited about a hot chicken and burger place. And then I went there, and you guys were also there, and you were doing it again there. You were like,
can't sit with us.
This guy keeps following us around. Yeah, exactly.
I always dream that I'm just not in the studio whenever it's time for the show to start.
Hmm.
Like, I'll be shopping or something, and then it'll be like, the show started 2 hours ago. What are you doing? And then I try to run there, and I can't run.
I have those for baseball still.
Mm.
Like, I'm supposed to be at the game, and it's like,
Yeah.
You're not here. What are you doing?
It would
you
be so
I
funny.
Get a lot. I get Van Halen's playing, and Alex Van Halen brings his pinky, and they're like, are there any drummers? And I'm like, I play drums. And they bring me up, but instead of drumsticks, it's fish. I have a lot of sports dreams where, like, I'm called up to play for the Cardinals and I'm ready to go, but my glove, the webbing is all loose and weird. And
I mean, I haven't had many lately, but for a long time, I'd always have dreams where I have to go hit, and I'm given like a rolled up magazine to hit with.
Yeah,
and I'm like, how am I supposed to hit with it? They're like, hey, listen, that's what we do.
I had a dream last. It's been like a year ago, and I still remember because it was so awesome. I can't skate at all. And I had a dream that I was playing for the Blues and I could skate exactly like I do now, but I had this weird talent to just stand around the net and just put in the trash. Mm-hmm. And I became sort of like Larry Blurd. Like, people were just like, oh my God,
there
he is. We love this guy. And I woke up and I was so happy. And I'm like, I'm so happy to be a Blue. And then I went in and I went to the bathroom and about halfway through pee, and I'm like, you're not a Blue.
Dang it. You're never going to be a Blue.
Not even close.
No, not even close.
Okay, back to headlines.
Okay. The IRS is warning about a rise in scams with tax filing deadline approaching. Sorry. Sometimes they do the headlines a little too literally and I leave out words. But the technology being used to file taxes could make it easier for scammers. And the IRS is warning taxpayers to watch out for fake letters asking recipients to provide personal info to receive an unclaimed refund. Just be very, very cautious when it comes to anything like that.
Did you hear the other warning that if someone calls you and says, can you hear me? Can you hear me okay? You're not supposed to say yes. Because that's a new way to get you to say yes and then use your voice to get your stuff.
Oh, that's messed up.
No.
Yeah.
The IRS says they will never contact anyone by email, text, or social media for a bill or tax refund.
No, they always just show up at my house.
Just knock on the door.
Hey, Dave. Hey, what's up, Larry?
Did you guys see this typo in the LA Times? This is kind of bizarre. They swapped out O.J. Simpson for Donald Trump. In a paragraph about Simpson's 9-year prison sentence for armed robbery in his obituary, the Times wrote, quote, long before the city woke up on a fall morning in 2017, Trump walked out of the Lovelick Correctional Center outside Reno, a free man for the first time in nine years.
That sounds intentional.
It's just really bizarre that it's like, or did they just have Trump on the mind? What's going on? They later corrected the error and issued an apology, but the obituary was picked up by other outlets before they corrected it.
Plus, you know, they had that written for years. You know, they have those obituaries way ahead of time.
Students at Northwestern University have invented a new device to make writing easier for people with Parkinson's disease. It's called SteadyScribe, and it's a special pen and clipboard set that helps people with Parkinson's write again.
Isn't that cool?
Really cool. Really, really nice. Less nice, the Barrier Reef is suffering coral bleaching due to climate change, record ocean heat, and some corals are starting to die. The bleached corals have been found at depths of up to nearly 60 feet.
Remember that time, like 3 years or so ago, I think we were on 97.1, and I said, so humans have been bad for the planet, right? And the guy called and he's like, you're the biggest idiot I've ever heard in my life. The planet wouldn't even be here without us. We're the stewards of the planet. And God gave it to us. I'm like, yeah, okay. Even if I agree with you that God gave it to us, we trashed it. You know, it's like my brother gave me a 72 telly and I broke it. I mean.
I don't get people who don't like recycling and think that recycling is for chumps or something. Like, even if you don't believe one bit of climate change, okay, I'll give you that. You don't believe it, fine. But don't you want things to be nice?
Right.
Why do you want to just throw things in the ocean?
Yeah, agreed.
Just keep it clean. Come on, people.
Yeah, how's that political? I understand, like you, Rach, if they're talking about carbon offsets and we're going to spend billions
on... I don't understand that, so I'm not going to try to educate anybody on it.
But pick up your trash,
right,
loser.
Several Rosie the Riveters were awarded the Congressional Gold Medal years after World War II. This is really cool. I saw this on the news last night, too. So dozens of women who went to work during World War II were given the Congressional Gold Medal, and they were at this huge ceremony, and Mike Johnson was there. It was very, very cool.
Yeah.
Around 5 million civilian women went to work during the war.
Amazing.
Very cool.
And so cool.
My last story here, the U.S.'s measles elimination status is threatened due to an outbreak this year. There have been 113 measles cases reported so far. It's due to the fact that some people aren't getting vaccinated, and that's just a real shame, people.
I am troubled by how anti-science we have become in 2024. And I know that society is cyclical and you go back and forth on everything. And I think we should be skeptical about science. In fact, the scientific method is basically skepticism, you know, made into a method of inquiry. You should always question things. But for the love of God, people, when you have an eclipse and then the cicadas come back, and I'm not making this up, there was a six-legged gazelle in the Holy Land, and people are like, ah, the trifecta, here we go. It's Beelzebub's. It's 2024. Be skeptical of climate change. Be skeptical of the Big Bang Theory. Be skeptical of whatever you want to be skeptical of. But don't be anti-science. People are getting tuberculosis again because there's so many people who think anti-vax is cool now.
It seems like we're just going off of vibes and, hey, my gut tells me that I don't need to do this.
Yes.
Where it's like, we have the society we have now because people got vaccines.
I mean, there was a reason those things went away, right?
Right.
What were those things? Oh, vaccines. That's what made these diseases go away. Right?
I know. Whenever I hate when people ask rhetorical questions but want you to answer them because I'm always like,
I know my mind goes blank. I'm like, I'm not like, sure.
I mean, like, it's just, it defies logic. And then, the problem is then you get one or two or three people that will say, well, this other negative thing is caused by this. And there's not enough data to back it up. And then now people believe something based on because they heard a story or they saw a YouTube video.
Dude, we said it yesterday. And I said this and I meant it. I meant it. It wasn't just trying to be clever. If I say something true on the radio, people will question it more than if I say something kooky. If I say something kooky, if I'm like, look, I have a theory. I think that Mike Johnson is being blackmailed by Vladimir Putin and blah, 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 and blah, 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 blah. People are more likely to accept that or repeat it to someone than if I say something boring and true. They're less likely to believe that. I really think that's true. Okay, explain this one to me. I didn't watch a minute of The Golden Bachelor. Not a minute. I have nothing invested in it emotionally whatsoever. But when I saw that these old bastards are getting divorced after 3 months, I was pissed.
Well, I was mad too, Dave, because 2 weeks ago, I was talking about like pop culture on the Rachel Zimmerman show with our friend Trisha Everding. And I did a story about how these two were so happy together. Like, they hadn't moved in together yet, but they had told TMZ we're still going strong and everything's great. And then 2 weeks later, they're splitting up.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
If I can't believe in two octogenarians that came together on television, what can I believe in?
It's almost like TV makes a mockery of getting married.
Almost.
Hey, let's run a contest here. You get a rose. Let's get married.
Yeah just date 30 women at once.
And how many seasons have we had of The Bachelor?
Everybody else.
Yes. You wonder, yeah. Whatever. It's a TV show. We don't need to worry about it, whether or not it's a meaningful thing.
Well, it hurt me.
Yeah, I bet.
I no longer trust
love. Hey, listen, the hearts of America were won over by The Golden Bachelor, and now they've been broken.
Yeah, I wonder if this puts a damper on the next season at all, if they're going to
say. Yeah, you think?
I mean, has it stopped any of the other Bachelor versions or Bachelorette? I mean,
have any of the Bachelors worked?
Oh, yeah, a handful. There are some that
got
married.
How many seasons
do
you think?
Oh, I think there's probably about 30 seasons of The Bachelor at this point.
So like a 20% success rate.
I mean...
Yeah. Hey, at this point, it's about becoming an influencer more than anything else. It's getting on TV and then getting those sweet, sweet Instagram followers.
Weren't we led to believe that he was like an executive, but he's really like an ice cream man?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There was something like that.
Isn't he like Mr. Softy? Maybe that's the problem.
He's got an ice cream truck. He's like, ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, he's
Maria,
like,
aren't you glad you came in the studio?
Put that in the news.
Tell you guys, Mr. Softy and his wife are getting divorced.